Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Are you blessed this morning? How many know that was a good time of praise and worship? How many know God is good? All the time. How many know that if we can't have fun this morning, we might as well leave? How many know church ought to be fun? It ought to be an uplifting experience. We ought to leave here differently than we came. How many know it's just exciting to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ? I are excited because this year I just celebrated my 30th birthday. I know some of you are looking at me like, come on, you got to be kidding. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, when I married you, I had hair. I lost it somewhere and haven't been able to find it. I just celebrated 30 years in Christ Jesus, January the 18th, and they said it wouldn't last. It lasts. When I got born again, I didn't know anything. I didn't know Jesus, you know, from anybody. But now I not only know Jesus, I've got 30 years of experience with that man. That what that man said that man's going to do, that man is going to do what that man said he is going to do. I have a track record, glory to God. And how many know that track record is what gives you and I hope? It's not your future that gives you hope. It's your past that's going to give you hope. Whenever God wanted to encourage Israel, he always said, remember what I did for you before. Remember how I delivered you here. Remember how I delivered you here. Why? It's what God did yesterday that builds my hope for the future. See, it's the track record that you have with God, one step at a time, that's going to give you that victory today. Are you all excited about that? Hello, you catching the picture? Other thing I'm excited about, this is our 25th, October will be our 25th year on the evangelistical field. And they told me that wouldn't last either. Glory to God. They lied. But also in October, are you ready for this? Can you tell I know dates? Like a week and a half ago, I just celebrated 26 years with my beautiful wife. She's the princess of my dreams, the queen of my castle, the crown of my masculinity. I'm flat in love. I'm in love. Woo! I'm always you good. I mean, that lady just lights my fire, folks. I've been chasing her for 28 years. Married to her for 26. I mean, glory to God. But October the 19th is my 15th year of fellowship, relationship, and covenant with this church and your pastors. 15 years. How many know that's a good thing? Back when they were, I believe it was called Word Alive, way back on the other side of town. Long time. How many know it's all right to build relationships? I mean, we've gone a long way. That man and his wife have put a lot in J. Louvier Ministries. A lot. I run a lot of our office based on what this man tells me after service. But with that, I have to move on. Would you please open your Bibles? It don't matter where, we'll get there eventually. And I'm in no hurry. All I have to do is go out and eat and then go home to an empty hotel room by myself, then come back and preach again, go back to it. I'm not in a hurry. Are you in a hurry? Suffer. I'm not in a hurry. I'll preach all day. You have to understand, I've got 30 years of Jesus on the inside of me. I just want to let him out all over you. I might be a little bit merciful this morning. I'm going to give you a little bit. But I promise you this, I'm going to quit when I'm done. I may know it doesn't do me any good to beat my lips together till my head caves in when God leaves. Are you ready? I don't know if I am, but let's go. I am ready. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, wired, fired, and inspired, folks, to get it on. You should have been in my hotel room this morning. Glory to God. What a beautiful room. Here we go. Judges chapter 6, verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord. Well, first off, I want you to understand, what is an angel? You know, a lot of us are looking for angels. That word angel right there is the same word called messengers. Anytime you see the word messenger in the Old Testament, it's the same word angel. And it literally means a prophet, a priest, a teacher, a messenger especially of God, or a sent one as a deputy. How many know that God has given that to us today? It's called the fivefold ministry. It is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. We may be looking for angels, but what we need to be looking for is a spokesman for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the El Shaddai. How many know God does not propagate the gospel with angels? Don't look for angels. Look for the word of Almighty God coming out of the mouth of a man. Are you catching the picture? God did not ordain this gospel to be preached by angels. They don't preach the gospel. They can bring deliverance. They can say things. In the Old Testament, they did. But in the New Testament, they'll bring deliverance, but they don't have a lot of messages. Why? He ordained it through you and I to propagate the gospel of Jesus. So we need to understand the word that's going to come forth for you this morning, I'm like an angel to you. Hello. I'm not being arrogant, but I am being truthful. Are you listening to me? I am a messenger. I'm sent from God. This man is a messenger sent from God to do what? Give you a word from God to change your life. Glory to God. What the man said, being stuck in the muck and the mire, is not what God wants for any of us this morning. We need to get out of the muck and the mire and move on with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know how we're going to do it? Baby steps. Ha! Glory to God. Anybody see that movie called What About Bob? Yeah, you ought to watch the movie. It's a cute one. Baby steps. See, we always want to take long strides. Just take baby steps. How many know what a baby step? Just a little step. But how many know you're going forward with those little teeny baby steps? See, I need to learn to take baby steps. We try to bite off more than we can chew. Learn to take these little baby steps. Stop trying to be complete in one day. This walk with Jesus Christ is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to be what you dream to be overnight. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and be something different than what you are. Yes, you're going to change, but it's one line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's one thought to another thought. It's one little baby step, and you can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the glory of Almighty God the Father. But you need to realize it's a baby step. It's just one little step, one little step. God is going to do wonderful things, but it's not all going to end right there. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning with a whole different person than you were today. But you can take one more step towards that person that you see in the Word of Almighty God. Then you don't get frustrated. See, this is just a process. That's all it is. That's why John 3:7 says, you must be born again. What a glorious thing. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I'm born again. 30 years ago, I got born again. My spirit man was rejuvenated, born again, made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. How many can understand that right now? How many know without the Spirit, the body's dead? So you see, how many know this coat has life? Did anybody notice this coat has life? This jacket right here's got a lot of life. How many know now it doesn't have any life? Y'all catch that? See, your spirit man is the dominating force on the inside of you. Without your spirit man, that flesh man does not do diddly squat. Does that tell you? We need to be concentrating, looking at, building up, strengthening what? That inward man. The man that when the coat's put on, the flesh, like this, now all of a sudden, this coat's taking on life. Everything the inward man is doing is being portrayed in the outward man. You catching that? That's what God wants to do. So the angel of the Lord comes on to a man named Gideon, and watch what he says. It's a process. Let me go back. John 3:7 says you must be born again. Then he says in 2 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. And then Hebrews 5:13 says strong meat belongs to the mature. Anybody notice what's going on? God's going to demonstrate something in the spiritual realm by using something you and I can visualize. A child being born. When that child comes out of its mother's womb, how many know it's not fully developed? How many know that everything that boy or that girl in that womb needs when it comes out is already there? Nothing else it needs. Every muscle's there. Everything's there. All it needs to do is grow. All it needs to do is develop. Everything he'll ever need is already set in his mind. It's already there. It needs to be developed. It needs to grow a little bit. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are things that are going to get planted in that mind that we need to get out of our mind. But that mind is already there. That computer is ready to process information. Are you catching the picture here? See? It's a process. Everything is a process. Some of you did not get into the state that you're in overnight. So don't try to get out of it overnight. I love to look at Israel. Here was Israel for 400 years. They were in bondage, if you will. 400 years, actually, they lived in Egypt. How many know for 400 years they were taking on the characteristics of Egypt? They understood their culture, their language, their teachings, their heritage, and then part of that time they spent it as slaves. How many know what their mentality was? It was a slave's mentality based on an Egyptian culture in Jewish people. much like you and I have been. We've had years and years and years and years of training. We've had that training passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation in our life. Some of us are in deep bondage. Some of us weren't quite in such deep bondage. How many know you didn't get there overnight? It started when you came, were in your mother's womb. The moment that egg and that seed came together, the moment inception took place, you are being programmed the way you are going to act, the way you're going to respond. It doesn't happen overnight. You came out of the womb. Teachers taught you things. Mommy and daddy taught you things. Grandma and grandpa taught you things. And so you act out that behavior. Sometimes you don't even think about it. You just act. That's called your subconscious mind, by the way. Hello. Have you ever done something you wonder where it came from? You didn't meditate on it. You didn't premeditate it. It just happened. Somewhere down the road on your life, there was a thought planted on the inside of you. And when a situation arose that would arouse that thought, it came up just like that. Why? That's the way you were trained. What we need to do is do what? Retrain that mind. How am I going to do it? Little baby step. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to be a little bit better today than I was yesterday. I'm going to go a little bit further tomorrow because of what I did today. Are you catching this? Shake your head, nonverbal communication. Now watch this. It's just little baby steps. Stop trying to take such big strides. Take the little baby steps. You're going to make it. I'm here to announce to you, as a messenger of God, his angel, you are going to make it. Hello. Just one little baby step at a time. And then you can follow the theme that's in this church. You can do it. What? Whatever God Almighty tells you to do is evidence you can do it. There isn't anything the man would ever ask you to do that he hasn't already pre-qualified you to do it. All I need to do is do it. So how do I do it? Got to do some changing in my life. How do I do that? Little baby steps. Isn't that easy? Y'all catching the picture? Now watch what happens to Gideon. It's wonderful here. And there came an angel of the Lord. His name was Jay. And he sat under the oak, which was by Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joaz, the Abizurite, and his son Gideon, thrashing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. One translation of the Message Bible says, in the winepress. Anybody know what this man is like? Well, let me put it to you this way. He's filled with fear. Y'all catch that? You don't get hide your wheat in the wine press unless you're a little bit more than afraid. Do you catch the picture here? I mean, no, this man is not Braveheart. This man is not very courageous. This man is hiding because of fear of the Midianites. Now, that's how he saw himself. How do I know? Because he was the one hiding. Somebody else didn't hide him. He was hiding. Are you catching? How did he see himself? The same way many of you see yourselves. Hiding in the wine press from fear of the enemy. Afraid to do. Afraid to go. Afraid to accomplish. Afraid to be. But God sees you a different way. Look what it says next. And the angel, Jehovah, of the Lord appeared unto you here this morning. Aren't you glad I'm an angel? Anybody ever ask you what an angel looks like? You can tell them. He's 5'10". Got a 5'2" hairline. He grew right through it. You're laughing. What are you laughing about? If we put our heads together, we'd look like a little butt. I can't believe you're laughing in church. Woo! I feel good. Woo! Glory, excuse me. I am being really calm this morning. Have you all noticed that yet? I mean, no, it's all right to laugh. I mean, we ought to laugh a whole lot more. Everywhere I go, I tell people, you know, Christians are just wound too tight. I mean, we shouldn't be that way. Ought to be happier. I like what the young man said earlier up there. He said, nothing changed, but everything's now under my feet. I ought to be happy. I still got the same problems, but I don't care. All hell's still breaking loose, but so what? I can't pay the bills. But I couldn't before.
but I learned how to brush teeth. You catch the picture? We ought to be just a little bit happier. Not so grumpy. We shouldn't be grumpy. People ought to want to come to church. Why? Because Disneyland isn't the happiest place on earth. Church is. We just have fun. And we leave here on a high. I mean, we've been on Space Mountain, glory to God, having a little bit of fun. Why? Because it'll last you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, and the ride just gets better and better and easier and easier. And you parents know what I'm talking about because you've been there and done that. When you talk to your children and give them counsel and advice and helpful hints, the only reason you do it is because you've been there, done that. And what used to drive you nuts and get you in trouble and get you in sin doesn't do it anymore. Why? Been there, done that. So how do you act now? Cruising, man. Been there, done that. That's why when mom and dad talk to you, they've been there, done that. I don't get so shook anymore. When the money ain't there, it don't matter. I know the banker. And ain't Bank of America, Wells Fargo, First Bank, Milwaukee Bank. Name's God. I opened an account there. He promised to take care of me. I need to talk about that maybe later too. Help you out a little bit. Got to move on, or we're never going to get there. The angel, who said that? Oh, glory to God. Lord, we're winning them. Glory. One at a time. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, isn't that wonderful? I just appeared. I wasn't here a couple days ago, and now I'm here. Isn't that cool? I like that. The Lord is with you. Well, that's good. I know it's a good thing. We sang a song about that. I mean, no, that's really good. The Lord is with you. But I like what he says next. This man hiding, thrashing wheat in a wine press, hiding it from the enemy, the man that is filled with fear, God says, thou mighty man of valor. Anybody catch anything? See, we're used to calling those things that be not as though they are. But how about when God calls those things that are exactly as they are? See, everything about you to win is already in you. A lot of times we think it's only for us that are born again. God's mind never changed. From the very beginning of time, he created mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, he always created mankind to win. Period. It wasn't just when we got born again. His whole plan has never changed. He has always wanted every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that was ever birthed on this planet to be a winner, to go forth, to dominate, to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, to be in charge. That's how we were created. That's why the world out there wins. Why? Because it was built on the inside of them. It's built on the inside of you because it's the dream of Almighty God. You do not have to look any further than yourself to win today. A lot of us are looking for money. Money will never make a winner out of you. You give a loser money, he will not have it tomorrow. What you need to know is everything you need to win is in here. God calls those things that be not as though they are. But when he does that, it's got to be something that's not there. When he said that of Abraham, who calls those things that be not as though they are, and he said that you're going to give forth a son. How many know he was dead in his body? Sarah was dead in her womb. It was literally impossible for them to have children. God calls those things that be not as though they are or were. When he created all that you and I see, he didn't have anything to work with except an imagination. He called those things that be not as though they were. But when it comes to you and I, he calls those things that are exactly as they are. Thou mighty man of valor. Everything that you need right now to win, to change your destiny, to achieve your goal, to fight the good fight of faith is already on the inside of you. You don't have to look for a new job. You don't have to go out and look for a new wife. You don't have to get a new husband. What you need is to look on the inside of you. Thou mighty man, thou mighty woman of valor. Are you all catching the picture? See, what you see and what God sees are two different things. You see loser, God sees winner. You see sick, He sees healed. You see poor, He sees provided. He sees down. You see down, He sees up. Are you catching it? He knows how to take your lemons and turn them into lemonade. Are you catching this? So we need to understand it's already in here. What I need to do is get it out there. Where do I look? A lot of times we come to church and you'll hear this after the church. Boy, I got something out of that. That's good. That's fine. But it's not what you get out of the service that's going to change your life. It's what you leave at this service that's going to change your life. It's when you're willing to say, I die. I die. How often? Daily. Now, I'm not out committing spiritual suicide. But what am I doing? That old thing. That old way of thinking, that old way of acting, that old way of reacting is what? It's dying. Why? So the life of Christ can rise up on the inside of me. That old way of thinking, the old way of being in poverty, the old way of I've got the wrong color, the wrong gender, the wrong height, the wrong this, the wrong that, that's going to all change. Hello. I got to leave it right here at the altar. Now, the altar doesn't mean you have to run down here, but it's when the word of God, by the messenger of God, comes out his mouth and hits you in the ears and then ignites in your spirit because you just got something. That's when you and I start getting changed from glory to glory into the image of Almighty God. From glory to glory, being changed into that person that can do those valiant things that God Almighty wants each and every one of us to do. Are you all catching the picture? Shake your head, nonverbal communication. So I got to get the one on the inside. I got to start changing things. See, we've been programmed. How many understand we have been programmed? Been programmed. But on the inside of me, when I got born again, something new got there. I listen to people that talk all the time that they wish it could have been like a somebody else. If I could just be like him, if I could just be like her, first off, understand something. You're unique. And all of us are not called to do the same thing. We're all called to do and accomplish something differently, but we're all called to make major impact on the great late planet Earth. I'm called as an evangelist. It's what I do. I like what I do. I've got the greatest job on the planet Earth. By the way, I'm not the type of evangelist that blows in, blows up, and blows out. I'm accountable for what I say. I hold myself accountable for that. I don't come to stir up strife. I come to add to your pastor who is a pastor. I'm not a pastor. But it doesn't mean I love you any the less. My wife loves my son one way. I love my son a different way. When my son falls down, I say, get up. I don't listen to pick me up. Get up. I didn't raise my son to be a sissy. I raised him to be a man. Why? Because God made him that way. How do you know? Check the plumbing. Are you catching the picture here? I got that from somebody close by, but I'm not going to say who. I sat right here and I listened to the man preach on check the plumbing. Today, the world is trying to get us in touch with our feminine side if we're a man. I got to tell you something, men. The feminine, the girly side. Are you ready for this? Got jerked out of me when Eve was created. I'm not trying to get in touch with my feminine side. God never told me to get in touch with my feminine side in order to love my wife. He said, understand her. That takes a little work. I'm sorry, I can't identify with men that wake up in the morning with morning sickness. That's going to a little bit extreme. I don't think you women got a masculine side. I think you got a feminine side that just absolutely drives men. Woo! Don't get in touch with my masculine side. I didn't raise my son to be a sissy. Raised him to be a man. Do I love him? You bet I do. Just because I'm only here a short time
It's the same way I had to raise my son. I've been on the road for 25 years. A lot of times I'm gone 3 weeks at a time. Do I love my son any less? No. I've been in fellowship with you all 15 years. I'm not here to blow in, blow up, and blow out. I'm here to impart life to you. I represent God to help you. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just using from the word. I'm an angel to you. Catch the picture? Doesn't make me any better. Just have a job to do. What do I want to do? I want to get you into the ministry. You're the ministers. I'm a part of the corporate leadership. You're the ministers. You need to understand that. We're waiting for the pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher to do the ministry. No, my job is to get you into ministry. That's your job. Go out. Have some fun. Lay hands on the sick. You do it. Get them healed. Glory. You don't have to wait for me to do it. We wait for the evangelist to do it. You go do it. It don't take much. That's what I'm here for, to equip you. I better get back where I'm at. But we sit there and we want to be like somebody else. That's what the caterpillar says. He's sitting on that little branch, eating that little leaf. He's looking at the butterfly. Going, wow, isn't he a butterfly pretty? I'm hairy with a bunch of little legs. I crawl around. I get the dust storms. I'm only eating leaves, but look at that. He's free, flying. I wish I could have been like him. But everything that caterpillar needs to be the butterfly is already in him. It's already there. All he has to do is let morphism take place. How does he do that? Gets himself into a cocoon. Then lets himself allow to be through time in a very uncomfortable position. How many know it's very uncomfortable when you have to face the fact that you're responsible for your own life? You can't blame your wife no more. I'm so proud of George Bush, President George W. Bush. He's not blaming nobody for his decisions. Against everybody else, the man said, no, right is right, and that man is wrong. What leadership we have to realize we can today take accountability for our lives and not say, that depends on what do you mean by that. For those of you who don't understand that one, go listen to the Clinton tapes. He wasn't responsible for his actions. Today's society tries to push on us. They're dysfunctional. May I ask you a question? Name one family in this fellowship that's not dysfunctional. We're all screwed up somewhere. But it's a lot easier to look at somebody else's messes than our own. And because we don't want to look at our own, we never grow. That's why the Word of God says, hey, get the log out of your eye before you try to take the splinter out of your brother's. Take accountability for your life. That's uncomfortable because I'm perfect. I never make mistakes. If you don't believe me, you ask my wife because I've convinced her of it. You know, men, I'm telling the truth, because when something goes wrong, you always blame your wife. You blame the kids. We have a real unique way of looking at something. If a child knocks the glass of milk off the table, he's clumsy. If dad does it, why did you put it there? Is that true? See, we don't want to take accountability or responsibility for our life. That's being in the cocoon. That's uncomfortable. Because you've been trained to protect yourself. You've been trained to act this way. The other day I said something to my son. I don't know where it came from. I've never said anything like that to my son before. And it just, there it came. Anybody ever had that happen? You're trying to figure out, was it good or bad? None of your business. Just came out. It was bad. It wasn't a big deal. It just something silly. But I walked away and said, wait a minute. Where did it come from? It came from my daddy. It was sitting inside me for 54 years. And finally, when my son did something, I didn't think about it. It just came out of my subconscious. It's called a reflex response. The same way when somebody does what? Hit your little knee with their little mallet. No matter how hard and macho you are and try not to get that leg to move, they hit it, poof, it moves. You have them all around you. It's a reflex response to breathe, to blink your eyes, for your heart to beat. Well, the subconscious mind does the same thing. It just spews off. But what I did was I brought that down. I took responsibility for it. I didn't leave it there. I'm walking away going, where'd that come from? That came from my... I turned back around and said, son, forgive your daddy. That was wrong. I was wrong. Boy, forgive me. He said, you got it, daddy. He don't play around with it for 2 hours. He reminds me of God. God don't dilly-dally with it. He don't say, why'd you do it? It's unimportant. Important thing is, let's get clean, let's move on. Well, what did I do? Number one, I took responsibility for my own actions. Number two, I dealt with it. See, the Bible says, put off the old man, not ignore the old man. Put off the former conversation. Don't just ignore it. So what a lot of us do when we come to church is, what are we doing? We got a dirty diaper. We stinketh. So we get out the spiritual baby powder. And we powder our own butts. And then what do? We got a great sermon preached to us. So we put on a brand new diaper over the old one. That's loaded. Am I doing okay? But eventually the baby powder mixes with the stink. And now it reeks. Why? Because all we did was cover up. I don't want to cover up. I want to be up. So what do? I got to face it. I got to see a new identity now. I see a loser. God sees winner. I like you. He sees better than me. But before I do that, you know what I've got to do? I got to take off the old. Well, you can't take off what you won't acknowledge is there. David never ignored Goliath. A lot of people try to ignore their problems as though they're just going to go away. Yes. Problems just don't go away. Anything left to itself gets worse. Yes. You don't deal with the weeds in the yard. How many know they'll outgrow the flower bed? Yes. Got to deal with it. Not a big deal. I don't need you to run up here this morning to show what a man of God I am by the number of people that run up here so you can get set free. You can deal with it right where you're at. Yes. This is a private deal. This is between you and God. The man's not a snitch. Yes. We got preachers that want you to think God's a snitch. God's not a snitch. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Remember Judas at the Last Supper? Yes. Jesus said, there is somebody sitting here who I'm eating with, who's going to even drink with me and eat with me. That person who drinks their bread, dunks it in the wine, is going to betray me. And as soon as he said that, Judas took the bread, dunked the wine, and took off. But nobody else knew what he was doing. They all said, oh, he's going out to give money to the poor. Why? Because the word was just for him. It wasn't for everybody else. God's not trying to, get out your dirty laundry before me. Number one, I don't know how to handle it. Number two, if I did, I wouldn't want to. I don't want your dirty laundry. Does that mean I won't wash your feet? No, don't take that out of context. But what I'm talking about is you've got to come with it where you're at. Not what you get out, what are you going to leave here this morning? While I'm talking, your brain is going. You're all firing somewhere. How do I know? Because that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the recreated spirit. I'm talking the word of life. And you're grabbing something over here. You go, yes. Now deal with it. You face up to it. Stand up, male or female. Jerk your head up. Put your shoulders back. Now, you are coming out of the scene. We get saved. We get born again. We got this new, powerful, born-again spirit, regenerated in the likeness of God. We come into an atmosphere like this, and we get born again. And there's praise, and there's worship, and we don't hear anything else. We don't hear that still, small voice way back there going, loser, loser, loser. Why? Because it's being drowned out with the praise and the worship. I never understood why I did what I did when I got born again. But what I did when I got born again is I would put tapes in. Actually, there's 8 tracks. Anybody remember those? Didn't have a lot of them, but I had Elvis Presley. And he would sing, I come to the garden alone. Crank that sucker up in my car, man. I couldn't hear anything else. If the devil was yelling, I wouldn't have heard him. I was staying in the lifted zone. But when it got quiet, there came those darts. That demon in a bottle would raise up its voice again. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Aren't I glad nobody said, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to hell you go for drinking after I got born again. Thank God it was a process. Took me 3 months to get delivered from that demon in a bottle. But one day came that I had to face that enemy. When I did, I got set free. But it was a process.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one baby step after another. It was running till the altar every single time I went to church. How many times a week did you go to church, Jay? 8. Minimum. Why? I had new life. I wanted to eat. I wanted to grow. I didn't want quick, blast off. I want to grow. I went to a different Bible study every night of the week and twice on Sunday plus Sunday school. That's 9 times. Just wanted to grow. But when the altar call came, because during the day, Jay was the first one to give his life to God again. Don't put people down for doing that, by the way. They're responding to the move of God the only way they know. Don't walk up and hit him in the head and say, hey, sucker. You got saved last week. Don't you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Faith comes by hearing. That's why parents don't hold your kids back. You know they're saved, but if they want to run down to the altar, they are responding to the move and the Spirit of God the only way they know. They'll grow. It's the way you are. And it's kind of like, if you can imagine, you get born again and you're growing, but you don't have a whole lot to work with, and all those little thoughts keep coming up. It's not going to work. You're a loser. All the thoughts your mom and daddy planted, remember, that's why Jesus taught us, when you pray, pray this way, our Father which is in heaven, to disassociate the father on earth that may not have treated you right, that told you you were a loser, you were never going to amount to anything, you're a bum, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're unwanted. Those things are all there. We suppress them, but they're there. And until I face them, deal with them, put them off, they'll still haunt me. That insecurity will come back up on you. You'll want to step up, but that little voice, it's not an audible voice, but it's really loud. It's really loud when you want to do something, and for some reason, you just stand frozen and not able to take a step. Why? Because somewhere, somebody dropped a seed. You're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're never going to make it, you're no good, you're unworthy. Because of all those thoughts are still running right back there in your subconscious mind. And I didn't even think about the devil. You got enough problems on your own. We blame the devil for too much, and that's why we're not getting changed. The devil did this. The devil didn't do squat. He's busy doing something else. Thank you. Who said preach it? Glory to God. Lord, I got 2 of them now. Glory to God. Yes! Y'all catching this? Going to get in that uncomfortable position. Little thoughts going there. Then one day the pastor preaches a sermon of Take on the whole armor of God. The word armor is armory. Oh, man, you got yourself a shotgun. Remington 870, man. I'm loaded now, devil. Just come on, sucker. Man, you're tripping. He's sitting behind you going, loser, loser. And you turn around, rack around. You rack that round and said, set your bad self down, sucker. That bad thought, that bad thing that was going on, if you will, that old way, boy, it parks it. Sits there. I got it. The moment you turn your back and start walking away, he jumps back up and goes, loser, loser. Why? He's not dead. Only threatened. Not dead. Only threatened. Boy, I tell you, then you go to church, you get fired up again, man. Oh, yeah, I got that shotgun. Sit your bad self down. Ooh, okay. Whatever you say, boss. Ooh. I'm bad. Won't you walk away? He walks with you. Loser, loser. This is a loser for somebody dyslexic, okay? Some of you will catch that later. Now watch. Pastor preaches another message. The messenger of God, that angel called Pastor Sabalas, plants another word on the inside of you. Reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. Set your bad self down, sucker! Now it's dead. But you have to deal with it. Got to have a little fun with it. I mean, notice, I dealt with something. Where'd that come from? My daddy. That's unacceptable. I dealt with it. Didn't give it time to grow. I was really blessed. I never raised my voice at my son. I'm going to show you something here. Are you ready for this? I purposed I would never raise my son like my daddy raised his son. I would not use my son for a beating post. I would not put out the venom in my heart on my boy. I mean, my dad beat the living fire out. I understand now why. What are you going to do with a kid when you beat the fire out of him and he says, is that all you got? Then tell me to go to my room and I go out the window. He pulled me by my hair, bounced me down. They call that child abuse. That was frustration. What are you going to do with a kid like me? I had my own head, did my own thing. My sister was obedient. My brother was obedient. I was obnoxious. I purposed, now please listen to me. I purposed never to beat my son like that. There's a lot of parents that say the same thing. So what do? They're still responding to that subconscious person, but instead of not beating, they don't do anything. And now their children run havoc. But my son never ran havoc. He's 19 years old. He's never disobeyed his mommy and daddy. It's unscriptural. He honors his mommy and daddy. 19 years old, he still hugs his daddy. Came in last night, not last night, the night before. Got on top of me, gave me a great big hug, said, I love you, Daddy. But there was something different between myself and a lot of what we do. That subconscious thing says, I was beaten, I'll never beat. I had renewed my mind to the word of Almighty God that said, don't spare for a child's much crying because you can deliver their soul from hell. And for those of you that like to have fun with the word of God, I wrote a note in the margin of my Bible. Anybody want to know what it says? You can beat the hell out of your kids. Glory to God. It said, don't spare for their much crying because you'll deliver their soul from hell. So I wrote my book. I go to my son and said, see that? I have fun, okay? Some of you sitting there, you're so starchy right now. You're just, I can't believe he said that. I didn't do it. But I had a Holy Spirit that would teach me how to do it properly. But I did it before my boy was born. That did help. I found out what the word had to say. I used to say, he that spares a rod spoils a child. When I knew I had a son coming, I looked up that scripture. It doesn't say that. He that spares a rod hates the child. Whoa. So that meant I couldn't be like over here, but my daddy was like over here. I felt schizophrenic. Do it, don't, do it, don't, do it, don't. Are we getting anywhere? See, I've got to deal with it. By the washing of the water of the word, Ephesians 4:23 said, put off the old man. I showed you how. Now do what? Put on the new man. Which is renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. This flesh doesn't do anything unless your mind tells it to. So I can put on a new me today, thou mighty man of valor. I'm not getting very far. I got to close here pretty quickly. So I'll pick it up tonight with everybody. Is that all right? Anybody getting anything out here right now? I'm going to close very shortly here. You know, it's kind of like we got to look just a little deeper. How many remember the story of the Lion King? I just like the story of the Lion. Oh, by the way, let me go back to the caterpillar. You get in that uncomfortable position. How many know it's uncomfortable once in a while to look at some of your old habits? That goes for you mamas too. Are you hearing me? If you raise your voice, I never raised my voice at my son. To my shame, I have to his mother. How many still love me? But I've learned to move that somewhere else too. But when I would raise my voice at his mother, I had to confront it. I had to go to my boy and say, son, that's unacceptable. I used to say, son, did I look stupid? Eyes out like this. Oh, I'm tough. Terrified my little boy when I raised my voice. That makes me macho, doesn't it? Makes me a bully.
Yes.
Oh.
Amen.
Lost my temper. Got a phone call the other day. A woman got thumped on by her husband. He lost his temper. I said, let me go to his house. I'll show you how to lose a temper. I promise you he won't lose his temper in front of me. Isn't it amazing? A little weak thing, he can lose his temper. Get somebody to stand up to him, he don't lose it so quickly. So I told Dad, I said, you just tell him I'm coming. If it touches her again, I'll rip his arms off. I can't believe you said that. Folks, that's what's wrong a lot of times with Christians. Why do you think the world at large doesn't like us? Oh, praise the Lord. I just got a kick out of a story my wife told me. There's a gentleman getting on the subway somewhere, you know, and some anti-war demonstrators tried to hand him a little pamphlet or something, and he said very politely, no thank you. And then there was an elderly woman, a real elderly woman in her late 80s, right behind him, and this anti-war demonstrator tried to hand her one, and she very politely said no. And the anti-war demonstrator put her hand on this elderly woman's shoulder and said, do you approve of them killing children? The lady responds, says, my husband gave his life in Normandy so that you could stand here and demonstrate. But if you put your arm on my shoulder, I'm going to take this umbrella and shove it and I'm going to open it. If you deal with the temper, by the way, you don't have to deal with another man. And you might keep your front teeth and your arms. Y'all get anything out of this? But that butterfly, always there in the caterpillar. But it's when he got in that uncomfortable position. Just face it today. What's bugging you? What's keeping you down? Little baby steps. Don't try to do them all. Just grab one. There's thousands of thoughts flying through your mind right now. Just grab one. I'm going to deal with that one. Don't just be informed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't say get information. He said have transformation. Let it take place. Become that butterfly so you can fly. And when did it happen? When did the caterpillar become a butterfly? I don't know. Just time took place. And over the process of time, something wonderful was going on. Nobody else could see it. He was in a cocoon. Don't know what was going on because it was hidden, but it was going on. And one day, you're going to burst forth, and you're going to be free to fly. We hear messages like this, and we go, oh, God, I can do anything. And so somebody that's afraid of heights goes, I'll go jump out of a plane. Some people can jump out of planes. That's how they deal with fear of heights. Can I give some of you baby steps? Jump off the curb. It's a baby step, but we're getting somewhere. Don't be intimidated because somebody with boils under their arms, I'll get the ass out of here. You know? Let him jump. Pray the chute opens. I don't see no sense in jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, but then I'm a pilot. Hello. I like to fly them. You want to jump? Jump. Don't let the tail hit you on the way down. You catch the baby step? You just got to look. The Lion King. You remember that story? Oh, here comes Mufasa. The artist is fantastic. It's all bright, filled with colors. It's magnificent. Remember the movie? All the animals come, you know, and they're singing, in the jungle, the mighty jungle. All right, it was a different song. The lion sleeps too. But I like it. Simba is born. The lion's whelp. Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. But we are the lion's whelp. Got this? Where's the first place that Mufasa went with little Simba? Pride Rock. Took him up. Just like you. Jesus takes you. Holds you up for all creation to see. And he goes, this is your dominion. Sounds like Genesis 13, doesn't it? Right? And all creation bows down. Why? Because God's got a son. God's got a daughter. The creation's been crying out for you and I to take our rightful position as heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters of God. Royal blood flowing through your veins. But we're little Simbas. And then what does he do? He says, all that you can see belongs to you. Then what does he do? He takes him out and trains him how to jump on little birds. Is that right? And then it flips over to Scar. Scar goes, ah, when I am king, there will be two canaries in every mouth. Everybody will be fat and sassy. And then what happens? I got to make a short story long. Scar sets up Mufasa. And Mufasa is killed. And Scar blames Simba. Scar comes up with great logic and says, it's your fault, Simba. You killed your daddy. Run, Simba. Run. And don't ever come back. Run. We're not different. A lot of us are the same way. Because Simba ran because of a lie. There's lies that have been planted in the back of your head. Lies that need to come down and a new man to rise up. Little baby steps. So Simba runs. Here's an heir to the throne. The one in dominion. On the backside of nowhere with his only two friends, a warthog and a meerkat. Eating grubs and worms. When God has a whole banqueting table before him. Does that anybody want to be qualified for that? Don't raise your hand. We'll all know. But because we live a lie, what are we doing? We're running from our inheritance. We're running from strong, healthy bodies. We're running from strong, healthy minds. We're running from strong, healthy families and strong, healthy marriages and strong, healthy relationships. We're running to poverty and away from prosperity because we're just believing a lie. Oh, and I like the artist. He's really good. Scar's now in control. The artist takes his art brush right over the color, turns it into dark gray and dingy. Beloved, when you're on the backside of nowhere, the people around you are in darkness. Scar sits there and he goes, this is good. He's talking to a bunch of hyenas. And the hyenas go, hey, like Scar dude, like, we're hungry. Remember what you said when we become, he goes, shut up. It was a chicken bone. The devil's a liar, always has been, always will be. Do I have about 3 more minutes? Was that all right? I am closing. The story just took a little longer than I thought. And then here you flash back, and where are you at? You're back with Simba. Now Simba is big. But he's still where? Away from his inheritance. He's still on the backside of nowhere, still enjoying grubs and worms with a meerkat and a warthog. But thank God for that orangutan monkey baboon thing. I don't know what it was. At one time I preached it was a baboon. I did that because I used to call it a monkey baboon orangutan type thing, and a little girl goes, it's an orangutan. Okay. How do you know? She said, you got to look at its butt. So that orangutan. Because that orangutan was a type of the Holy Ghost. And that orangutan said, do you want to find Mufasa? Do you want to see Mufasa, little Simba? Little Simba said, yeah, I want to see Mufasa. I want to see my father. He said, then follow me. Come on, let's go. Woo! They're on a ride now, folks. They're just booking it out there, man. And they run and run till his tongue's hanging out. And they come to a pond. And that little orangutan baboon monkey type thing says, look in the pond. And when Simba looked in the pond, do you know what he saw? Himself. That's all he saw. See, that's a lot of us the same way. We've only seen ourselves. We don't see the mighty man of valor that God called us to be. We don't see that prosperous human being that God destined you to be. We don't see that person that's whole in spirit, mind, and body that Jesus predestined us to be. All we see is that picture of us. And he turns his head and he says to that orangutan thing, he says, look deeper. And he turned back and he looked and he saw himself. But as he looked deeper, like the butterfly, morphism took place. And all of a sudden he saw not him anymore. He saw Mufasa, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He saw the greater one on the inside, able to cause him to rise. And when he saw Christ in him, because he looked differently, what was the first thing he did? He went back to claim his inheritance. He went back and got in a tussle with Scar. The fight was on. You need to understand, when we're fighting spiritual warfare, most of the time spiritual warfare is not against demons. It's fighting the only enemy of ourselves. It's casting off the bad so the new will rise up in authority. Are you catching that? And he gets in a fight with Scar, and Scar is stupid and says something stupid. He says, I killed Mufasa. And here's Simba holding on to the edge of a cliff hanging over. Scar says, I killed Mufasa. Now I'm going to kill you. And oh, Mufasa reminded me of Popeye. He goes, I stands all I can stands. I can't stands no more. He hits that can of spinach. It goes up, comes in his mouth. He does a backflip, man, on top of Scar, beats the fire on him, and kicks him in the lake of fire. Amen. Isn't that cool? And then what did Simba do next? Went out to Pride Rock. The color came back. Everybody around him was happy. And when you, today, make that decision, you're not going to be the same, you mighty man of valor. You're going to stand up and say, I am a woman of God. You're going to stand up and say, I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. You're never going to be the same. I'm going to finish this tonight, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you right now, the way you get started on this whole program, this little teeny baby step, is to meet Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. That's where the greater one gets on the inside. Mephasa within, so Mephasa can come without. Jesus in, so Jesus can come without. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Now Jesus' life in me.